Good morning, welcome. The Federal Election Commission open meeting for Thursday, May 10th is now in session. I apologize for starting a minute late. I got stuck on the red line and was sitting there for quite some time, so I apologize. Welcome. We have a motion, Madam Vice Chair.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move that we suspend the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents in order that the Commission may consider the late submission of agenda documents number 18-22A, 18-22B, and 18-23A.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Without objection, we thought we would switch the order just a little bit and start off with draft advisory opinion 2018-06. LUIBA for Congress, and we have with us today some guests. Welcome. Neil, everybody, join, please. Give me one second. Hold on. Good morning. Thank you so much for coming. Welcome. And I understand you brought your children with us today.
Good morning.
Okay, good. Great. Well, welcome. We have a presentation from the Office of General Counsel. Thank you, Ms. Helmsley.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Hunter. Good morning, Commissioners. Agenda document 18-21-A contains a draft response to an advisory opinion request from Ms. Luby Gretchen Shirley, candidate for the House of Representatives from New York's 2nd District. Ms. Shirley asked whether her authorized committee may use campaign funds to pay for child care expenses that she, as a full-time caregiver of her children, incurs while she is undertaking campaign activities. The draft concludes that the proposed child care expenses would not exist irrespective of Ms. Shirley's campaign, and that Ms. Shirley's authorized committee may use campaign funds to pay for such child care expenses to the extent those expenses are incurred as a direct result of Ms. Shirley's campaign. We received 3 comments on the request. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions. And we have with us, as noted, Ms. Gretchen Shirley. Thank you for joining us. And Mr. Neil Reif, and your campaign manager.
Oh, no, this is my associate.
Your associate. Hi, nice to meet you. Did you have any questions or comments on the drafts, on the draft?
We are supportive of the draft.
Okay, excellent. Any questions or comments? Madam Vice Chair?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank Ms. Shirley for coming in today and for presenting us with this interesting question. Questions like this have been asked a couple of times before. Interestingly enough, both times previously were from male candidates. So this is the first time that we have had a request from a female candidate about childcare, although the nature of the comments that we received on your request suggests that a lot of people think that it is women candidates who will most be able to benefit as a result of this. I also want to thank the staff for a succinct and sound draft in response to Ms. Shirley's request. You raise an important issue. And we did get a number of comments, which is somewhat unusual. Usually when somebody submits a request, there aren't a whole lot of other people who are interested, but your request obviously raises an issue that people think will have broader applicability. And we got comments from 26 members of Congress, a former presidential candidate, 2 advocacy groups, and a law professor, all of whom supported your request, as do I. I have a long track record of being very concerned about personal use issues, but the request that you have made is tailored. You've asked for asked to be able to pay child care expenses that are directly related to the time that you need to spend campaigning. Obviously, campaigning is a very time-intensive operation. And we're not creating a wholesale carve-out for childcare. Still can't use campaign funds for babysitting on date night. But to the extent that you need it, and other candidates similarly situated would need it in order to facilitate their campaign work, this answer, should we approve it, would allow campaign funds to be used for those expenses. I think at a time when a lot of people are concerned about political power being concentrated in the hands of a smaller and smaller segment of society, a request like this may help to open the door to political activity by younger candidates, female candidates, people of color, working class people, and generally may help to advance a more diverse group of representatives who are perhaps more representative of the country at large. So I thank you again for raising this important question, and at the appropriate time, I will be pleased to move approval of the draft that was prepared by our ABLE staff.
Any other, thank you, any other questions or comments? Is there a motion?
There is indeed, Madam Chair. With respect to the advisory opinion request from LUBA for Congress, I move approval of draft advisory opinion 2018-06 as set forth in agenda document 18-21-A.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So next, we're going to do a correction and approval of minutes, and then the next draft advisory opinion, Conservative Primary LLC, and then we have some announcements to make about our move, and then we'll do the last item on the agenda. So now, correction and approval of minutes. Madam Vice Chair, is there a motion?
There is. Thank you, Madam Chair. I move approval of the minutes for the meeting of March 8th, 2018, as set forth in agenda document number 18-20-A.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. So the next item on the agenda is draft advisory opinion 2018-04, Conservative Primary LLC. My understanding is we have requesters counsel here with us today. Good morning.
Good morning.
Petra Mangini?
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Got it.
Okay, welcome. Thank you for being here. First, I believe we have a presentation from the Office of General Counsel. Ms. Wallstriker.
Thank you, Chair Hunter. Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning.
Agenda documents 18-22A and 18-22B are alternative draft responses to an advisory opinion request submitted by Conservative Primary, LLC. Conservative Primary is a for-profit entity that plans to establish a website that will allow customers to participate for a fee in straw polls for selected congressional primary elections. Conservative Primary also plans to create and distribute communications to advertise its website, as well as the results of the straw polls it conducts, some of which will contain express advocacy. Conservative Primary asks a number of questions about its proposed activities and ads and its interactions with its customers. Drafts A and B both conclude that some of the proposed ads are independent expenditures and one or more other ads would be electioneering communications under certain circumstances, that the ads may contain links to candidate websites as proposed, and that Conservative Primary's customers will not constitute a political committee. The drafts differ in that draft A concludes that payments from customers will not constitute contributions, while draft B concludes that such payments will be contributions. And draft A concludes that Conservative Primary is not currently a political committee, but could become one in the future if it meets certain criteria, while draft B concludes that Conservative Primary will be a political committee once it receives at least $1,000 in contributions or makes $1,000 in expenditures. We did not receive any comments on the request or on either of the drafts, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Ms. Mangini, did you get a chance to review both drafts?
I did.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Ms. Mangini? Any comments, questions? Do you have any comments or questions for us?
No.
No?
We prefer draft A, but...
Okay.
If you would, Ms. Mangini, would you mind just tapping your microphone?
To turn it on, it's one of those.
Perfect, thank you.
Thank you. So you said you prefer draft A?
Yes.
Okay. All right. If there aren't any questions for the request or you don't have any questions of us, perhaps we can move to motions. Does anybody have any comment? Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In draft A, the biggest question that that you ask is to what extent your activities might make you a political committee. And in that draft, The conclusion is that we don't have sufficient facts to enable a determination by the commission regarding your status as a political committee. And part of that will turn on the nature of the business model that you present. You know, as was pointed out in the request and in the draft itself, we've had a number of requests over the years where you have vendors, you have businesses that are providing services to users. And even if they are political in nature, and even if you direct them to one side of the political spectrum or another, if it's considered a service for the customer and the organization or the vendor is acting primarily as a facilitator to amplify the voices of the customers, that will be that's considered to be kind of traditional vendor activity and will not result in the organization becoming a political committee. But if the organization is primarily leveraging its customers, or in this case, if it were the case that the organization were primarily leveraging the participants in the straw polls to amplify the message that the group itself wants to advance, then that would change the calculus. And and also at this point, not knowing exactly the extent to which the group is going to be engaged primarily in facilitating customers' participation versus the extent of the independent expenditures that the group will be wanting to run. Those are very fact-specific determinations and are difficult to make in an advisory opinion context. So that's the reason why I've leaned more towards draft A, and because I don't feel like I have enough facts to answer that question. I would say also that question three, which asks a question about the payments made by customers to, would they be considered contributions, that, you know, that question will also turn on what the answer to question four is. If the group were determined to be a political committee, then obviously those payments would be considered contributions. If the group is not a political committee, then I don't think those payments would be considered contributions. So, like I said, it may not be the most satisfactory answer. It sounds like it's the one you would prefer, though. But at least on some of the other questions about the reporting of the independent expenditures and whether or not those who make payments to participate in the straw polls, whether or not they constitute a group of persons that would constitute a political committee, we can provide, I think, consistent answers on both drafts to give you a little more clarity on those subjects. So I don't know if there's any response you have on this point. I'm not asking you a specific question, but to the extent you want to respond to anything I said, feel free to do so.
I mean, I generally agree with that. The point is to amplify what the customer is doing. The conservative primary doesn't have an interest or, you know, who's winning, what's going on there. It's more or less the customer's end of it. So.
The reason why you know, that question will become relevant is, so the ad one that that was in your request, the Let's Go Rhino Hunting ad. Okay. So I'll just read the full text. It says, "Let's Go Rhino Hunting. Congressman Doe and District 8 does not represent the conservatives in this district. Conservative primary gives you a tool to help elect someone who better represents conservatives like you. Join conservative primary, pool your conservative vote, and help nominate a real conservative to the general election." So in looking at that, so obviously you want to draw people to the site and to participate in the straw polls, but you could also read that as that the organization itself is not indifferent as to what the message that's going to arise out of those straw polls. There's criticism of an existing incumbent and a desire to elect somebody else. So that's why I said, looking at the full range of activities that the group may participate in, it seems clear that there's obviously a message agenda that the group itself supports, and then it's also there's an objective also to amplify the voices of those who participate in those straw polls. And so that's under the facts that we have right now, I can't answer definitively on whether or not that would make you a political committee. But is it accurate to say that the group itself has a message that it wants to advance that's independent of what the participants in the straw polls, whatever message they may want to have amplified as a result of their participation?
It could, but I don't think that's necessarily all of it. I mean, the point is they're trying to market straw polls and the polling process. And so this ad number one was specifically geared to be a marketing ad for that itself. And the subsequent messages would be considered separate from that.
Okay. All right, I don't have any other questions.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Commissioner Walther?
I was curious to know what criteria you have in mind other than the one that was mentioned in the draft for selecting candidates for participation.
I'm not familiar exactly with the specific criteria they're going to use. That's going to be more of an operational decision that Conservative Primary is going to look at, but they're going to want to pick somewhere that it's reasonable to do so with Conservative candidates.
So does it will be based upon political views on a certain issue, or say there's four candidates, and as I read it, it looked like they were being narrowed down to two non-incumbent candidates, or how does the poll work? Because we said something like it would be not for incumbents. Is that correct?
Right. Again, not familiar with the exact specifications they're going to use, but the idea is you're finding somewhere where there's a Republican incumbent, and there should be at least two. There could be more Republican candidates that are going to be running against that person. So it's going to be generally a poll between those four people running as candidates against that person. And in selecting those people, they're selected based on being a candidate, period. As far as selecting the district, that's when you're going to get more specific into, is this somewhere we can actually, like, run this straw poll, make some money, all of that. So selecting candidates, that's just by them being registered as candidates.
So if there's four candidates, all the candidates will be subject to the poll. I thought maybe it was being narrowed down to two.
No.
So there's no selection issue?
No. If you're registered, you're going to be in the poll.
Any other questions or comments? Do we have a motion? Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In advisory opinion request 2018-04, Conservative Primary LLC, I'll move approval of draft A with the caveat that the answer to question three would depend on whether or not the group was otherwise determined to be to have the major purpose of electing or nominating candidates, in which case those would be considered contributions. But this, the way it's crafted right now, does not make that assumption as of yet, since we don't have enough information to reach that conclusion.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion fails out of vote of 2-2. Commissioner Peterson and I voting in favor, and the Vice Chair and Commissioner Walther voting against. Are there any other motions? Madam Vice Chair?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move approval of advisory opinion 2018-04, draft B, as set forth in agenda document number 18-22-B.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
No. The motion fails 2-2. The Vice Chair and Commissioner Walther voting in favor, and Commissioner Peterson and I voting against. There's, as noted, there's a little bit of commonality in the two on the sort of less, probably the less controversial questions. Would it be useful to you if our office of general counsel drafted something that gave you an answer on the common parts?
Yes.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. We shall do that. Thank you very much, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Madam Chair?
Yes.
Just a brief comment on the common parts, on the determinations.
Okay.
All that we are called upon to opine on with respect to the ads is whether they're ECs or IEs. obviously that would, the number four ad that we said was not express advocacy sounds almost like a prelude to something else. Obviously, if there was more text in the ad, that could change the analysis. And I'll just throw out a comment from the Peanut Gallery that I thought there was potential for confusion amongst listeners. You know, it doesn't affect my legal analysis of whether it's an IE or not, but there are conservative primaries that are actual elections. There's a conservative party in various states, in my home state of New York, for example. And I think somebody could read this as a statement that there had been an actual election, a primary election, and this was the conservative party nominee. So I just toss that out as a comment from one reader of the text of the ads.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. As all of you know, we recently moved to this building, and this is our second public meeting here, and we're all enjoying it very much and wanted to spend some time. My colleagues and I decided we definitely wanted to take some time this morning to thank all of you who helped us move, and that really is everybody in the entire building. We all had to play one role or another, and it's been fun for all of us. But we wanted to take a minute to acknowledge people who spent a lot of time and effort in particular to get us to the new building. And we all know from moving personally, it's one of the worst things that you can undertake. But this is, you know, tenfold for all the people and all of the bureaucratic tape and all the other kind of thing that they had to deal with. The stories are pretty amazing. So start off by thanking Alec Palmer and Lisa Stevenson, who are the heads of our divisions here at the FEC, and they were definitely outstanding leaders throughout. Lisa also has really good social tips on where to go to lunch and other things to do in the neighborhood, so thank you to both of you for leading the charge. Who we call the CEOs of the move. Oh, and I should mention that for all the people that I'm going to read to talk about now, we have a lovely pen set for each of you, and we will bring it to your offices shortly with silver pens that say Federal Election Commission. They're kind of nice. Yeah. So it's a little token of our appreciation. So we call the CEOs of the move Ed Holder and India Robinson, who by far did the most work in orchestrating this, and it's been going on now for, how long have you? 4 years for Ed and 5 years for India. Oh my goodness, that's unbelievable. Yes. Thank you very much. I mean, your patience and your persistence and your detail in conferring with everybody and all of the orders and follow-up and everything that you have done, we greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much. The next category of people we would like to thank are the administrative services and IT division. The group that helped in that area the most are Donnie Harris, Darnell Rose, Stanley Hauser, Pat Dunn, Reginald Watts, Terry Marsh, Donna Short, Kim Humphreys, Garland Coleman, and one of the contractors who was particularly helpful was Toya Henry. So thank you very much to the admin services and IT group. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. The LRAT team, nobody knows what that stands for, but I'm going to tell you, the Lease Renewal Advisory Team, we have a person from each division that came together and made a lot of decisions, you know, trying to make sure that each division was represented in a lot of the different decisions that had to be made and tasks that had to be undertaken. So we have in that group, we have Rebecca Howe. Ho, did I say it right? Rebecca Ho, sorry. I have a friend whose last name is Howe, so I always get it confused. Greg Baker, Jim Allen, Greg Scott, Cam Thurber, Eileen Lehman, Ryan Lance, Anita Bailey, Gilbert Ford, and Debbie Ciccona. Thank you very much to the LRAT team. We appreciate it. And then we have several working group, and you can tell by the title of the working group what they worked on, and we appreciate it. There are many of them, and I'll read them right now. The first one is the Construction Working Group, which was Ed Holder and India Robinson. Their names come up a lot in this group. The Interior Working Group, Anita Bailey, Lauren Lean, Wanda Brown, Candace Sally, Greg Baker, and India Robinson. The Furniture Working Group, again, India Robinson, Pat Dunn, Rhonda Gilwater, Wanda O'Neill, Eileen Lehman, Sari Pickerell, Cheryl Painter, Laura Buford, Deborah Tibbs, Gwen Holmes, Lynn Tran, Joanna Wallstriker, Dana Brown, and Ray Wolcott. The IT Working Group, Jim Allen, Dave Taylor, Garland Coleman, Jim Jones, Gasha Mengistu, did I say that right? Pretty good. Ryan Lance, Lucerio Ribeiro. Thank you to the IT Working Group. The next working group is the Cleanup Campaign. Marie Dixon, Dan Buckley, Erica Lee, Jason Busletto. I said that wrong too. No. I know, Jason. Carmen Gray, Sari Pickerell, Stanley Hauser, Deborah Tibbs, Samuel Stewart, Chris DeRoche, Marilyn Jones, Dana Brown. The next working group, the Security Working Group, India Robinson, Donnie Harris, Pat Dunn, and Castle Systems. The next working group, Signage, Eileen Lehman, Jim Jones, Jonella Culmer, Rebecca Ho, Pat Dunn, Lauren Lean. Thank you. And the next working group, the Budget Procurement Group, Gilbert Ford, Pamela Jones. The Communications Working Group, Ed Holder, India Robinson, Greg Scott, Debbie Ciccone, and Jonella Culmer. The Transition Working Group, Donna Short, Terry Marsh, India Robinson, Darnell Rose. And last but not least, the Mini Mart Committee, which we have a new way of purchasing food. Instead of a vending machine, you can go kind of like at the airport, you can go, it's kind of an honor system. You pick out your snacks and then you pay on your own. So that working group is India Robinson, Darnell Rose, Christina Krusaya, Tanya Senanayaka, and Christine Gallagher. Thank you very much for everybody in all of those working groups. We really appreciate it. The building is terrific, and we're all delighted to be here. Thank you.
And we're still going to have a reception, but we're still waiting for some of the furniture to arrive. So
yes.
Maybe that way we'll wait until people have a place to sit.
Yes, we will do that, absolutely. Excellent. Thank you, everybody. All righty. The next item on the agenda, and I believe it's the last as well, yes it is the Internet Communication Disclaimers Illustrative Examples. So, here comes Jessica Selnikov, Ms. Selnikov. So this is a document that we talked about when we passed the the NPRM on the Internet Communication Disclaimer Rule in March, I think it was March 18th or something close to that. And we said then that we were going to work on doing examples. And it sounded pretty easy at the time. And it turned out to be a little harder than we thought, because you have to, you know, size things so that when you size it on the paper, it looks, it's appropriately balanced. And you have to sort of agree on which examples to use. And there's an never-ending array of ideas. So it was a little harder than we all thought, but we're able to come up with a document that we hope will be helpful for people who are in the middle of writing comments for the NPRM. And comments are due for that
Friday, May 25th.
Right, so that's coming up soon, and we wanted to get it out, and hopefully this will give people a chance to do so. A lot of people helped with this, in particular, Amy Rothstein and Tom Moore. Where are the two of you?
Tom,
is it? There's Tom and there's Amy in the back. Tom is with Ellen's office and Amy is with my office, and they did an excellent job and worked hand in glove on this over the past few weeks. So thank you so much to both of you. Also to Nevin Stepanovic, Jessica Selenkoff, Greg Scott, Amy Court, Dorothy Yeager, and another in particular is Jim Jones. Is Jim here? I don't see him. I think he ran away. He's in the control room. Okay. Hi, Jim. He also thought this might be easy on the first day that we called him, and he has literally been incredibly patient and helpful in trying to to put this in, putting this together for us. Just incredibly patient. We thank him. He has a regular job, and he kept getting pulled from his regular job to work on examples. So thank you, Jim, wherever you are hiding. Any comments from anybody else?
Jim is certainly going to hide when he's
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He will.
Sure.
Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you to everyone that you already mentioned, particularly Tom and Amy, who were indefatigable on this project, which really, we thought it was going to be easier. And for those who are in the room and looking at the copy on blue paper, I think the goal is to, it looks a little different on blue paper. There's, we were actually looking at it on against a white background and in color, and that's the way it will go up on our website. There are an infinite number of ways and texts that one could come up with for political ads, and we don't usually draft political ads, and I suspect that people who are looking at this will tell us that we shouldn't quit our day jobs. And obviously, if we had chosen different sizes, different resolution, we could come up with different conclusions. How it will appear on a phone versus on a watch versus on a large monitor. All of these are going to go into the determinations. We made some calls on the ads, and I think it was important that we do that. Commenters may disagree with our calls, and that's fine. That's what the comment period is for. It was actually, I think it was really a helpful process internally. I'm not sure if just looking at the ads is going to, that the commenters will get as much out of it as perhaps we did internally, the process of going through and trying out a lot of different alternatives and trying to decide how they would work under either or both of the alternatives or some combination or merging of the two, which, you know, and any of those options are still on the table. And I also should mention that, you know, if people want to comment on the draft and without the graphics, they're welcome to do that. If they want to look only at the graphics, they're welcome to do that. If they looked at the, if they already submitted a comment on the NPRM and now they want to submit another comment, they're welcome to do that too. So really, this is just meant to be an aid to the commenters, however you want to use it. And as I said, I think it was a useful process internally to go through this. So hopefully it will be helpful and will help us to get, at the end of the day, to a stronger rule.
Any other comments, questions? All righty. So then, without objection, we'd ask the Office of General Counsel. Oh,
sorry. I'm sorry, Madam Chair. No. I don't mean to interrupt you. I remember that I had two very small wording changes that I wanted to suggest before it
Are
goes.
Are you serious?
Didn't they tell you this?
No.
I'm sorry.
I was on the Metro.
Oh, that's right. You were on the Metro. We did tell you stuff. They're really, really, really tiny. I was reading it last night, and I realized there was something that was just a little bit unclear. It's just a wording change for clarity on in two places. On page 5, the second paragraph, the second sentence, while an adapted disclaimer would be appropriate here, it now reads, this does not meet the requirements under Alternative A, and I propose changing the word this to example 4. Does not meet, just for clarity.
Okay.
Again, basically the same change on page 7 under Alternative A, the third paragraph, the second sentence, while an adapted disclaimer would be appropriate here, change this to example 6. Does not meet the requirements under Alternative A. I just wanted to make sure there wasn't some confusion over whether this referred to the example or the adapted disclaimer that could be used. So I apologize for not.
No, that's okay. I think that those are edits we can certainly accept.
I know. I didn't mean to scare you.
No, you did. Okay. excellent. So then, without objection, if the Office of General Counsel could please place that with the two technical corrections the Vice Chair just discussed in the appropriate places on the website in order to foster as much public comment and to allow people, as many people as possible, to see this document. We would appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you very much. Excellent. Mr. Staff Director, are there any management or administrative matters the commission needs to discuss today?
Madam Chair, there are no such matters.
Thank you very much. This meeting is adjourned.